I think it's amazing. I think when we look back on all our own lives and we think where we've been, where we've come from, and what God has done, and what God is still doing. And I think we've been talking over the last few weeks about the promises of God, and we just hope that everything we talk about our lives as we grow, as we move on, that these promises are something we can hold on to. And we can say, Lord, you spoke these things. I'm speaking it back to you. Let these things be real in my life. Let them be real. Let these promises be something I can hold on to. And that's what they're there for. They are promises. Josh spoke about that originally the first time when he started the whole part, the preachers on promises, about how they're important there and how they fit into our lives. And I'm hoping that today I'm just going to kind of continue a bit on that, and I'm actually taking a bit on what Joss had said last week. And Joss had read a piece out of John 14 from verses 6 to 17, and he read this. He says, you know, the promise that God will be with us forever, and that's so important. And it's not just God will be with us from now onwards and until. And you just want to kind of stop at the word until and say, God will be with us from now onwards for as long as God will be. There's no time limit on the until. When you think of until, it's always kind of, it's going to stop somewhere. Take the word until away and just say, for as long as God can be, that's as long as we're going to be with God. And that's going to say it all, because we don't comprehend that. It's just beyond our imagination. And be with him forever. Before that, I preached on the promise of family. Dave spoke on another promise. But the promise I want to speak on today is related to that John 14, verses 16 to 17. And the part I want to use is the promise of the Spirit of Truth. The promise of the Holy Spirit, this promise of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 44, verse 3, second part. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. God prophesied this over Jacob, and Jacob was in that line of Jesus coming through there. And it's just important, all those promises that God has spoken to originally to Abraham, now God has spoken to a promise into that line, that family, about the Spirit that's going to be poured out on his offspring. And we, the children of God, are his offspring. He will pour out his Spirit. He is pouring out his Spirit. What I've done is I've just got quite a few verses. I'm just going to read through all of them. And some verses I'm going to read a few times, but there's different translations of those verses. The first one is John 14, verse 16 and 17. And this is just the NIV again. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. This is J.B. Phillips' translation of it. I shall ask the Father to give you someone else to stand by you, to be with you always. I mean the Spirit of Truth. And this is the message. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend so that you always will have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. And some more verses just relating to the whole thing of the promise of the Spirit. John 14, again, late on in verse 26, goes again. He says, but the advocate, the comforter, so many different words get used for those describing the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. John 15, verse 26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. John 16, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me that he will make known to you. And that's verse 13 from John 16. It's quite a few verses on there, but the main part, the promise I want to speak about, is the promise of the Spirit of Truth. Wayne Grudem, in the book The Systematic Theology, he puts this little note. He says, the work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world, and especially in the church. Let's read it again. The work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world, and especially in the church. There's a lot we can say about the Spirit, because the Spirit is God. So I'm just looking at four aspects, and I'm just going to draw that one aspect out of that I'm going to just focus on. We talk about the Spirit of Truth, but you know, the Spirit can reveal things. The Spirit has many aspects, and one of them is the Spirit. Firstly, the Holy Spirit empowers, and we all know that. How else are we going to live our Christian lives without the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk our lives as Christian. We need that power from God. Jesus himself was testimony to that. The Holy Spirit purifies. God saves, but it's through the Holy Spirit we get sanctified. We become, you know, that which God intends us to be. The Holy Spirit reveals, and that's the part I'm going to concentrate on. The Holy Spirit reveals. And the last part, the Holy Spirit unifies. There's a lot I can preach on about there, but like I said, I'm just going to stick to the one thing, the Holy Spirit reveals. I'm going to do four aspects in that the Holy Spirit reveals, and the first one is revelation, reveals. Now we know that in churches, generally have someone up front who preaches, and in our line of churches we have prophets, apostles, and those people really we see as people God anoints through his Holy Spirit specifically to bring direction, certain aspects of the word, and reveals to us. You've got people up front, like myself, Joss or Dave, sometimes someone else as well, or even visiting, or preachers on what we feel God is revealing to us that we want to share with you. You know, Acts 17, verse 11, Paul, you know, writes this, is Paul preached to the Thessalonians, and he's, you know, they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And as much as you get people preaching to you, as much as you get going to a seminar or to the devoted to wherever, you know, and you get somebody really sharing the truths of God, it's only when you yourself spend the time and say, does that actually fit into my life? Does the Holy Spirit really resonate with me? You know, and these went as far as, I mean, at the time, they didn't have the New Testament. Yeah, they just had the old books of the Jewish, the Torah, or whatever that was called at the time. Yeah, and they went and they examined and they made sure that whatever was preached to them by Paul, I mean, Paul knew it inside out, but they still went and examined. And Paul doesn't write and put them down. He actually puts it in with a specific purpose to make us known. There's guys, they went and they studied the Bible. No matter what I said, they made sure that what I spoke about fitted in as to what really belongs to the Word of God. And that's an encouragement for us. Don't think that where you are in your life, what your education or what your background is, there's no reason why you have got every right to sit down with a Bible and examine the word that someone preaches. No matter how many dots or PhDs people have got behind their names and they stand in front of you and talk about something, it means not unless you yourself all make sure that the Holy Spirit resonates with you. You know, people with doctorates, they're not Christians. but they know the Bible inside out. Yeah. God wants us through the Spirit, as much as He's anointed prophets and apostles and preachers, God through Spirit has also given you an access to Him directly. And He wants you to be able to look at those words and make sure that those words speak to you as well. Mm. I mean, Ben was saying earlier about the Bible study they went to. And in our leaders' meeting, we were talking about the fantastic Bible study that's been going on. I don't know for how long. And I think they've done, in all the time they've been, I think they've done 2 verses. I don't know how long the meetings go on for. Yeah, but I mean, just the thing about, you know, Bible studies are great. It gives us an opportunity where we can really talk about things, ask questions, and even sometimes you think I'm asking the silliest of questions. Most times, the silliest of questions are the things that unlock the most. You know, when you are brave enough to ask the question and nobody else wants to ask, and say, what about this, what about that, you know, I can only encourage you, ask the questions. You know, we do not have all the answers, but we'll trust that God will guide and lead us. You know, that's what they're all there for, to really just see that God reveal Himself to us in His Scripture. And like I said, people are anointed by God, but it is God that does the anointing, and God still wants to use all of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second part, the evidence of God's presence. I don't have to say much, really. I think when you come and you spend time before God in worship, if that is not enough evidence of the presence of God, then I think I'm in the wrong place. Yeah. But it's more than that. God does not want us to just feel we can come to a place of worship and then suddenly that's where God's presence is going to be. When I was growing up in the schools I went to all Roman Catholic schools. I wasn't a Roman Catholic myself, but it just was the local school we had. And I always remembered going in and always finding this strange little red light on in the church. And I always kind of wondered, what was the point of this red light? Why is it always burning? And that, of course, the whole idea of the red light was, it indicates that that was the presence of the Holy Spirit. They turned the light on, the red light, and that's what that indicated, showed it was the presence of some, you know, that was the point. And I couldn't figure out the life of me why it was. And, you know, that was explained by the priest at the time, why have you got this little red light on? And I think, what? So someone can just switch it off and it's gone. But it's all things like that you look at, and you just kind of think, as, tell me, has something gone wrong? Has somebody missed something? And that, you know, it's amazing how we look at the things, and we sometimes can laugh, but sometimes there was a reason why they had a candle burning or something like that in the churches, because with some people through the ages, they didn't have any education, and they just needed a simple, what's the name, means of a picture to say, this is what it means. You know, their lives, they were out in the cold and that. It's not just a warm place, not just a building. This building was there to define something different. The early churches, I don't imagine, depending all around the world we look at, weren't these fantastic cathedrals that took years and years to build with all their stained glass and fantastic crosses and gold stuff. They were just probably, what's the name, holes in the side of the mountain or wherever, and which is a kind of sense, come, what is the best way to do, make this a place that is specifically set aside for God? It makes sense that way, but we can laugh at that now. Yeah. But like it's here, we know now. Why? Because somebody's told us, hold it. That's not what it's meant to be. The presence of God is wherever you are. You know, we've had to learn and relearn Scripture over and over, over the years, through the years. Early Christians probably knew all about it. They knew exactly what it meant to be in the presence of God. Those guys suffered for the gospel, so they knew what it meant to be God in the prison, dying, wherever they were. You know, things change. We look at things differently. We start following formulas and say, this is how we're going to do it. Our church is getting so big. The only way to control it, let's do this, let's do that, makes it easier. You know? A few years' time, we're going to change it again. Yeah? Because we find it doesn't work. But the Spirit breaks through all of that, and God reveals himself, says, I'm not in that. I'm not in that building. I'm not in that big gold cross under there. I'm not in that big anointed person over there. I am everywhere. I am God. And through my Holy Spirit, I reveal myself wherever I want to. I reveal myself in a village hall. Musicians playing, we're singing songs that haven't got major history because they weren't written in the time of revival or whenever. But they resonate, they speak to us, and they reveal God. God wants us to know his presence wherever. Wherever. I find that when I'm praying, that sometimes God speaks, reveals his presence to me in the most awkward of times. I go to bed and God wakes me up at 3 or 4 in the morning when I need my sleep. Or I've got something else to do, and God just kind of shakes you and says, I want to speak to you. And you just think, Lord, I've got a slot over there. I'll fit you in. Yeah. And that's how our lives are generally. Sometimes we feel we can fit God in, but God says, no, I want you to know my presence wherever. We've sometimes got to stop and let God be the presence and not feel that we're coming into God's presence. You know, we feel, God, you're over there. I'll come to you when I'm ready. It doesn't work like that. But God is amazing, that Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, the Spirit of Truth. He wants to reveal the God in his presence wherever. And that's what it's about, that Holy Spirit, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. There was a story of a Chinese Christian who got taken to prison, and he was with all the other prisoners they had in there, and they asked, okay, certain people need to do certain jobs, and the job that he was given was to clear out the toilets. Now, let me do this. I'm not going to go in detail to describe. These are not toilets with flushing toilets. These are basically holes in the ground, you know, and he had to sort this all out. And it's not a job anybody would want. He ended up volunteering because it was the best place he found that he could just be away from the noise and everything else and just spend time with God. I wouldn't want that on myself. I'll be honest, I would like to have a nice clean place. With my knees, when I'm kneeling down, they don't hurt or whatever, you know, somebody warm and that. But this man knew what it means to be in the presence of God. You know, he was willing to do that job just for the sake of being in the presence of God. You know, sometimes we as modern Western Christians, we need to learn so much about what it means to be, you know, seek after God with all our heart and all our might. Yeah. But that doesn't distract the fact that God still wants us to use us wherever, and he wants his presence to be with us wherever. Be it in a modern world, be it in a third world with nothing. God's presence is the same wherever we are. So my question to you is, when do you feel is your best time for God? When do you feel when you really feel that you enjoy God's presence? Besides today, besides on a Sunday, do you feel you have a special time? Do you feel that there's a time where you really look forward to? Maybe it's waking up first thing in the morning and just spending that hour with God. Or is it late at night? Or are you one of those irregulars that have, when I have the time, fit God in? Yeah, which probably applies to most of us. Yeah. So just ask yourself the question, what applies to me? When is my best time with God? When is the time of presence I really want to see God? And as much as I speak about all these things, about where you can meet with God and that, the Spirit of Truth is there to reveal God and His presence wherever. You can be busy, you can be driving, wherever. It is still the same Spirit, and He still wants to reveal God to you. And God's presence is not a place. God's presence is not a time. God's presence is always. Just on that verse I started with it, from John 14, God wants to be with us forever. His Spirit is God, and it is with us always. God's presence wants to be with us forever. Part 3, He guides and directs. Decisions. Why does life have to be so complicated? And of course, when you're Christian, it's even more complicated. Whoever said becoming a Christian was going to be easy, it's going to take all the worries of our life away. You know, it's kind of just kind of steers you maybe more to the edge. You know, my wife says, well, most people know me, I'm a very logical person. My forte is electronic software and those kind of things, where it's just like zero ones, zero ones. Everything is based on that. So it's logical. You can work it out. And my best hope as a young Christian was that I would have a step-by-step instruction booklet on being a Christian. Yeah. Now, today it's great. We have got the internet. You know, you can go on the internet, you can type in anything, and somebody will have a comment or tell you how to do certain things. We've got one of those things at home, like in that corner, they call bookshelves. Yeah. And it's filled with books over the years, Christian books that I've collected, and that I probably have read most of my Christian books. Some of them, I've read a bit of them, stopped, because just some of them you can't finish them. You get to the point and you just feel, if I go any further, I'm going to feel condemned or something like that. Yeah, and that's the thing about Christian books, isn't it? They're fantastic. You can go to seminars, you can listen to someone talk, and you can hear about their fantastic life of the missionary field they've been in, and you can walk away thinking, I'm never going to do missions ever in my life. For what reason? Because I'm not going to be like that person. You know, I can't do that, you know. For those of us who've got families, when you've got a young family, you think, hold it, I've got these young children, I've got to look after them, make sure they get a good education, blah, 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 blah. And God would say, I want you to go there. And he said, yeah, Lord, I'll wait till they this age. Okay, I want you to go now. Lord, I think when they get to university. Now, our world has changed a lot in that kids end up being at home longer than was expected a few years back because they don't have the money. Yeah, so they end up being at home. You can send them away, but they come back. Yeah. So you just say, Lord, can I just take a rain check on that? I'll do it a bit later. You know, I remember when in a church in Cape Town, we had a lot of people that were just in retirement and that, and we encouraged a lot of them in saying, you've gone into retirement, you've stopped working, but it doesn't mean you have to stop. This is a fantastic opportunity for you to go beyond, to do those things you thought you could never do. So we encourage them on that. As you get older and you start getting to your retirement age, and I know it was funny, it was Dave, we were laughing with Dave, and he was saying he's been in retirement now for 2 years now or something, and he's just thinking, why didn't I start it earlier? And it's just one of those things, just to think, and as much as we look forward to a retirement when we're going to stop working, that doesn't apply to how we see ourselves in God. You know, God wants to guide and direct us in our lives to do many different things. There are loads of books out there, and they help and they guide you. But there's no definite step-by-step instruction. It doesn't say, Mark, when you wake up tomorrow morning, if you do these steps, blah, 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 your day is going to be fantastic. And if you do these extra steps, your week will be great. You know, And if you do these steps, you're never ever going to struggle with that sin again. You know, that's it. Or you're going to get the front row seat into heaven. You know, those kind of things. No, that doesn't happen. My salvation story. When I was growing up and I was about 20, my father had just passed away, and my mom invited me to the church she was going to. She came and said, "Mark, I'll come to the church." I said, "Oh, right, I'll come along." And then they had somebody, and they had a Jew come and just speaks about the Festival of Lights, I think, or the lighting of the weekend, the Sabbath, lighting of the Sabbath light, something like that. And he spoke to about all of that, and then at the end he says, "Oh, is anybody who wants to come up for prayer?" My life was a bit complicated at the time, so I thought, "Oh, I'll just go up for prayer." He didn't say anything about it's going to be for salvation. He said, "Anybody got any issues, problems in life, come up, I'll pray for you." Yeah, so I went up, he prayed, and he said, "Oh, say after me. Da 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 da. Turn around, you're saved." And I looked and I thought, I can't even remember what I just said. And here this person saying, "I'm saved." You know, God's Spirit reveals truth. It guides and directs us. I ended up joining a church that became Jubilee Church. Most of you, if you know about that, in Cape Town, the church, NFI Church at the time. Well, they've all kind of changed now anyway. And joined that. Within about a month, I got asked to join a part of a youth leadership team. Don't know why, and that. And I became a youth leader, went in a camp, and at the camp, suddenly, God broke through. And then I knew what it meant to be saved. But God guided and directed my life through the Spirit, and that I did things I didn't know anything about. I would help young boys in the youth, you know, just go through their lives, the young adult teenage lives, you know, what about things. Their lives were so different to me. If you don't know anything about Cape Town and about South Africa, you probably understand what I mean by their lives being so different to mine and that. But it wasn't about where our lives were at. It was all about the Spirit guiding and directing and using me and guiding my life. That end of the year summer camp I went to, God revealed it all, and that, but he had to guide and direct me. And even me, for being in this country, I would never in my lifetime want to be living in this country. We got sunshine, we got the beach, you know, why do you want to come to England? But I came, and I'm here. I met my gorgeous wife, and I got my boys. But that is God. God guides and directs us, and he reveals his ways to us. God didn't give me a step-by-step instruction, but God is walking step-by-step with me all the way. And that applies to all of us. We can come from countries we would never expect to leave. We can come to towns we never expect to move out of. You know, why come to Northumberland? You know, it's a fantastic part of the country. We're going to keep it a secret. But that's the thing about God. God directs us for his purposes. But in that, he gives us the ability, that heart, to see those purposes and be there where he wants us to be. Last part. It gives us assurance. We all struggle with who we are. Some way or other. Somewhere during our life, we think, "I am not good looking," or "I am not fit enough to do this," or "I can't do that, I don't have the skills for that," or someone else says something and it knocks us completely. We are so defined in this world by what people say, what the world has to say about us. And some more than others are affected in huge ways by little things. You know, sometimes it can be just a small word, it can be a rumor, or it could be real, or it could be a truth, a fact, or it could be just our own imagination. But it's a word that kind of sticks in our mind, and it kind of gives a bit of a wobble, and it knocks our confidence. And everything else we do, we struggle. You know, we can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, all we just see is the darkness around us. We don't see the person walking next to us trying to guide us. You know, all we just see is the darkness. We are so defined by so many different things in our lives. And it doesn't matter what type of person you are. You can be a person that's, what's the name, really edgy. You can be a person that's laid back. You can be a person of so many different personalities. We are always affected by what people say. You know, we're always going to be, even at a small degree, we are affected by what people say. But the amazing thing is, us as Christians, God says, I've got this Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit there is come and is called the Spirit of Truth. Why? It wants you to know who you truly are. Many times you always hear the verse about saying, you know, we say, God chose you before the world was made. God made you with a plan and a purpose, you know. Some of the writers write about us when we know God made us. God made humans with this hole inside of them that's made for eternity. No matter what we seek after in this world, we always want more. People that have got billions in the bank still want more. You know, people that got everything in life still want to have everything else. They're never satisfied. We can be satisfied with everything in this world, and yet we always feel we're missing something. Sometimes you think it's easier when people don't have anything, you know. Yet, to a degree it is, because they don't have anything, they realize what they truly need in their life. I remember when I came over to the UK for the first time, and I went to what's called Stoneleigh Bible Week, which I don't do anymore. And just one of those things, people come and say, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from South Africa. And I actually had one of the American girls come up to me and says, so where is South Africa? Hello, South Africa. It's just like no sense, but having been in America, you realize people just don't have an idea of the world, in essence, really, of where things are at. And of course, one of the comments she said to me was, oh, so where do you, I said, I live down in Cape Town and that. And so she said, so how do you get to work? And me being the quick-witted person that I am, said, oh, that's no problem. We get an ox wagon. And once in a while, we do have to outrun one or two lions. But that's not a problem. You know, we know what we're doing, so we get there fine. And of course, you sit there with your other South African friends who are sitting there, and we're trying to keep a straight face. And the young girl sat there, and she's like, and then he just had to sit, no, sorry. I have to stop, you know. And it's just one of those things, you know, about how we see the world, you know, how are we offered into this world of what God has made for us, you know. People can have such a different or weird sense of what the world is like, you know. But God, through it all, how we see things and how we perceive things to be, God wants to break through all of that, and God says, I want you to look at the real you. I want you to look at the person I made you to be, you know. And it's not even a case of the person I want you to be, the person I've made you to be. It's not a past or a present tense. God decided, full stop, before the world was made, of who you're going to be. And what you're going to be like. God has got your real ID card. Yeah? He's got your real passport with all your details and the exact measurements you're meant to be. It's interesting when Ben came up earlier and he was saying about Matt Redman, and of course the very thing that he was saying about God, you know, the whole thing about who God is and God's song over us and who God sees us, how God sees us. And I'm just always amazed that week in and week out, when you come and someone comes and brings a word, like Maureen's word about the ties and that, okay, I had to keep pushing, but eventually it came out. But the ties of the walls, and therefore Joss was just kind of fitted in with what he was preaching about. And weeks before that, other times, someone brings a small word, and it just kind of fits things in, you know. And God does that, and that's just going back to the whole thing about God's revealing word through His Spirit. It's because we've got God's Spirit in us that God enables us to be able to reveal the revelation of His Word, to be able to have evidence of His presence. We can come and we can worship, and God can speak to us in His worship, and it opens up something. And I like it when I just stand sometimes watching everybody, and everybody's just sitting there, and their eyes are closed, and that, and people are just enjoying God's presence. And of course, this whole thing about just here, the whole thing, the last one about He gives us assurance of who we are. God knows who you are. Not your person next to you, not your mother and the father. God knows who you are above all else, and He wants to assure you and say, I saved you with a purpose. I want you to reveal who you really are. And that's what God is all about. And God uses His Spirit to assure us in so many different ways, by His presence, by revelation, by guides, directions, and things He placed in our lives, and by the person next to you. We encourage one another to assure one another to say, this is who you are. This is who you are in Christ. We've got to look at things differently, very, very quickly, you know, and with all assurance that only the Holy Spirit can give, and that is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth wants to reveal everything. Okay, it's going to reveal some of the stuff we don't want to be revealed. Yeah? But that is what the Spirit of Truth is. But more importantly, He wants to reveal the real, real you in every way. So, just to end it all off, God wants us to know Him. He has given the Spirit for the very purpose. The Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is the Holy Spirit of God. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God wants us to know who we are. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. Not just anybody, the living God. The Holy Spirit is here to confirm that. Jesus died on the cross, and He said, I'm sending someone very, very special. I'm sending myself. I'm sending God from the Father, the Holy Spirit. We are going to be with you. And He wants us to know that it's not just something out there. His presence is something that's within us, each one of us. That's what His purpose is for. God wants to reveal the real you, not how the world sees it, not as how you perceive it, but as He wants you to understand who you are. God, last one is, God wants the world to know who He is. God wants to use us. God wants us to reveal Him to the world. God has got loads of other ways of doing things. He can come directly to people in amazing ways. God uses His creation. Everything around us speaks of God. But more importantly, God wants to use us. That's why He chose us. That's why we are part of His plan. God's want to use us. And that is what the Spirit of Truth is. God wants us to reveal Him to the world through the Spirit that's within us. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to give an opportunity just for us to pray and ask God that last aspect, and I think that's going to be the most important thing that I really want to concentrate on about that whole Spirit of Truth is God wants you to know the real you. God wants you not to feel that no matter how difficult life is, no matter what life has offered you or thrown at you in that way, God wants you to look past all of that and God say, look at me. I've given you the Spirit of Truth, and that truth is going to reveal who I am. And once we hold on to who God is, we become clearer and clearer about who we are in Christ. And that, and no matter what the world has to say, it's not going to be easy. Like I said, Christian life is never, there's no step-by-step instruction to that. But God wants us to understand who we are in Christ. And that's what the Spirit of Truth is all about. You know, the Bible speaks about the Comforter, all of those, but just the Spirit of Truth is here to reveal who we are in Christ.